Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. That's why when it comes to hard work, nothing works harder than a Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Check out a new Silverado at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
All right, it's Dave Player on 720 WGN on this early Sunday morning. So it's been 50 years since the legendary Riverview Amusement Park closed. Toward the end, there were 120 rides, including six roller coasters, plus a midway complete with freaks and barkers. And more than 1.7 million people visited the park in 1967, nearly as many as watched the Cubs and the White Sox at home that year combined. But it wasn't enough to save the park. This year is the 50th anniversary when the announcement that Riverview had been sold to developers for more than $6 million. Aladdin's Castle, the Parachutes, Tunnel of Love, the Flying Turns, the Water Bug, the Rotor, and the Ghost Train, and even the revered Bob's would be flattened forever. It opened back in 1904, closed in 1967, but for millions, the memories live on. And joining us tonight to talk about Riverview is the original host of Radio's Those Were the Days, the man who started Nostalgia Digest magazine and currently has a fabulous website called speakingofradio.com, where he podcasts from it every single month, and that is the legendary Radio Hall of Famer Chuck Shaden. How are you, pal?
Hey, my friend David, how are you tonight?
I am delightful. Thank you for getting up early with us. And I must tell you, I was born in July of 67, so I never got to experience nor knew much about Riverview until I heard you talk about it on the air. You know, the way I learned about Riverview was from you.
Well, that's I really feel old now. Thank you.
Well, Riverview was such a big part of your childhood.
Oh yeah, we went to Riverview. There wasn't a summer. I can't hardly remember a summer in my life that I didn't go to Riverview. But you know, I was thinking about that the other day. I cannot remember going to Riverview with my parents. And I'm trying to figure out how did I ever go to Riverview when I was a little kid. And I had a maiden aunt, as they were called in those days, who always took me once at least during her summer vacation from work and treated me to a day at Riverview, and that was always special. But in those days, back in the 1940s, your parents were not so reluctant to let you, they were not so reluctant to let you drive, to get on the streetcar and go someplace for yourself in the Chicago area. Today it's, you know, a little worried about where the kids go.
Sure, sure.
But from our house out in suburban Norridge, you know, it was real easy. I could take Irving Park Road to Western and then Western south to Belmont, and there we were. Or we'd take the Addison Street bus all the way down to Western and walk four blocks over to Riverview and then spend the whole day walking around that fantastic midway.
It was massive.
It was great, and I always remember the – it was right in my budget, whatever it was, 2 cent days and 5 cent nights.
Wow.
And that was – they would charge you 2 cents admission if you didn't have some kind of a pass.
Okay.
And the aldermen would send out passes to everybody, and they would think – you'd think you were getting the world, and it was a pass to let you in the gate. It didn't give you rides, but it gave you a pass to get in the gate, which was 2 cents. 2 cent days were, I think, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and then 5 cent nights were Tuesday and Thursday.
Yeah, it's very interesting that you paid a teeny admission to come in, and then you paid by ride when you went through.
Paid by ride, yeah. And each ride was a little bit different in cost. I mean, ranging maybe from a dime or 2 cents. Many rides were 2 cents on a 2 cent day. But the bigger rides, like the Bob's, which was the holy grail of roller coasters, would be maybe 10 or 15 cents or maybe 20 cents. But that was almost everything that you went on as a ride was worth it, whatever you were paying. The hardest part of it all was that you had to stand in line for every single ride to buy your ticket.
So there was no Fast Pass like at Disney?
No, they never heard of a Fast Pass. Oh, my
I'm
gosh.
Just kidding. But you
no, nothing like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes you would, and you had to stay in line.
Yeah.
You couldn't get out of line and then come back, or like you say, on a Fast Pass.
Yeah.
But So you couldn't even vamp while you were doing something else. And people did not look kindly upon you if you were holding a place for three other members of your party while they went over to the another shorter line and went through that while you were waiting in line. But it didn't matter. It wasn't you. There was no big rush. That was a funny thing about Riverview. You rushed to get there. You couldn't hardly wait to get there. But there was no rush once you got there. You knew what was there. If you'd been there once, you had memorized the
whole thing. Sure, sure, yeah.
And you went to this thing. You went to the roller coasters. There was the mild roller coaster, I think, was the Greyhound, and the one that would give you snap your head off was the Bob's, and then there were several others in between. And over the years, they changed the names of some of these roller coasters just to put a new spin on things.
Keep it fresh,
so to speak. And they would add some different attractions from time to time and take some away and some others. And it all depended. Because they were charging you admission for each ride or attraction, each attraction had, they could tell you whether this attraction, how popular it was by the revenue that it was.
Interesting.
And sometimes they'd build a ride and they thought it had great expectations for the season. And it was there for many seasons, but never really paid for itself for one reason or another. You can't always say. But then other things which were simple, and they did it, and they kept it. All they had to do was keep it well painted, like Aladdin's Castle, which is a sprawling adventure on ground. And you go through all the many corridors of Aladdin's Castle and see all the different things inside. That one was one of the biggest money makers in the park, I think.
Well, I've never been there, and that's probably one of the most familiar pictures
you've probably seen
that I've seen.
Backdrop of it, yeah. No, that was great.
But this has got, just to put this in perspective, this was 74 acres in an area bound by on the south by Belmont, east by Western, on the north by Lane Tech High School, and on the west by the North Branch of the Chicago River, and I think DeVry is there right now. It was originally owned by George Schmidt, who was an auto dealer. And when they first opened in 1904, there were three rides. That was it. It was three rides. And it was Riverview Sharshooters Park. And then a few years after it opened, they decided they had to do something during the winter. I was looking at some of this. They put a roller rink in and a ballroom, which really surprised me that this was something in the evenings for adults. There was jazz being played there.
Well, it wasn't a kids' park.
That's what I think. Yeah,
it never was just. It was a family deal.
Yeah,
and during World War II, you'd go down there and you'd see walking on the Midway. You think the ships have all come in because the Navy guys and the sailors were walking down, or the GIs, you know, and they all had pretty girls on their arms, that's where they met sometimes.
And I read also that during the time of Prohibition in the 1920s, that Riverview was also known as being sort of a speakeasy. Like, you could still find beer and liquor somewhere in the park.
Well, I think they were great friends they had cultivated a good friendship with the aldermen and other city officials and so forth. But it was a good, clean, wholesome place. And it was, as I said, clean. It was clean. There were always people cleaning up debris because when you've got thousands of people, they're throwing things around. It's like Disneyland or Disney World today. You don't see a scrap of paper someplace very long if you do see one. So Riverview, and because of the Chicago River there, that's how it got its name, Riverview. And you saw the river from some of those higher rising rides, too.
Well, we're talking to Radio Hall of Famer Chuck Shaden in the good old days of Riverview, and there's more with him next on 720 WGN. Stay player on 720 WGN. We're talking to radio legend Chuck Shaden about the final days of Riverview. Magician Marshall Brodeen, who played Wizzo on Bozo Circus, had a museum in his basement, Chuck, and one portion of it was dedicated to his time at Riverview because he was a barker. Long before, and he knew he remembered every line 50 years later that he used to bark out there. But he had lined up along the walls of his basement all these games, you know, these pull games that you would do from Riverview that he had bought from collectors over the years.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that was pretty cool. And I remember there was a show you hosted in the 80s called Chuck Shaden's Nostalgia, and I think it was that very first show you talked about Riverview.
Right.
And it made me realize, as you were interviewing folks, how important these rides were, and people just knew them front to back, left to right, what they look like 30 years later. They knew exactly what those experiences were because that was summer for kids in Chicago.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, what a beautiful thing it was. I mean, it's like if you lived in Orlando,
yeah,
and you had a season pass to Disney World, I mean, how often would you go there? You'd go
right.
there every week, probably.
Right.
I mean, here in Chicago, I mean, it was Western and Belmont. Now, if you lived way far south, it was a little longer ride to get there. If you
sure.
lived way far north, a
sure.
little longer. But public transportation taking you right to the door and 2 cents.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
what was your 4 cents, a nickel, a dime to drive to get on the streetcar? And all day long. And it's a funny thing. I was thinking about Riverview a little bit before we talked. It came for the show today. But I can't not remember a lot of food concessions at the park, but there must have been.
Sure. Just wasn't the focus. Yeah.
I cannot remember. In fact, they had a little picnic grove, and a lot of people came with a brown bag.
Yeah, that's smart. Yeah.
And you go, and you probably get by yourself a soda somewhere.
Sure.
I know they had a beer garden in there, I believe. But you could buy a soda, and I'm sure you must have been able to get a hot dog or something.
Sure.
But today, you know, you're hit right in the face with all kinds of food places. But there, the focus was on all these events, all the things. And if you were overwhelmed as you walked through that front gate, which was a magnificent entrance right off Belmont Avenue,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, or Western Avenue, I mean. It was a magnificent entrance,
yeah.
And you were overwhelmed. And should I go to the right or should I go to the left? Should I walk north and then around, or walk south and walk all the way around? Whichever way you went, it was almost overwhelming to see one attraction after another. So one of the first things you would do if you were kind of new to the park would be get on the train.
Oh,
they had a
okay.
little train. It was the, I think there was the Riverview Chief was one of the lines, and the other was mm-hmm. the Scout. And it would take you, wind you through all the park. And for, I don't know, the 2 cents, I suppose, or 5 cents, or maybe a nickel or a dime on another day, you would see everything. It was not a thrill ride. It was just a ride. And they had, whoo-hoo, the train shooting there and going around. And you saw that. And then you would go past the parachute tower. My God, what a thing that was.
But that gave you kind of a bird's eye view into the park, right? I mean, it got you to
you
see.
You could see in the window of the yeah. shop room at Lane Tech High School from
yeah.
the top of that.
Yeah.
It was an amazing ride, and it slowly brought you way up, and you were up pretty darn high. And then when it connected to the top, there would be a jolt, and then it would slowly come down, and you thought you left your stomach up there, but boy, it came down, and it was really a fantastic ride.
I was going to say, what are some of the if you had a name, like three or four rides that you just still remember to this day, like if you closed your eyes and walked through it, you would know it like the back of your hand. What would those rides
well,
be?
Well, the ride that I remember the most dramatic looking ride was the Shoot the Chutes. This was a high ride. It would take you up real high on a boat, and then the boat would be released down a long chute and into a big tub of water. Now, I'm talking about not a tub so much, mm-hmm. but a big tank of water. And it would come down with a smash, and the water would splash up. And the guy who was – there was always an attendant riding on that boat with the crowd, the passengers of the boat, now wet as they got down and splashed. And he would know how to – swing that around a little bit to get you, once you've splashed in there, to get another splash before you had to get out. And you thought for sure that tank was going to be 12 feet deep or something like that, but it was only, I think, 2 or 3 feet deep at the far end.
Wow.
So it wasn't going to be a fantastic thing. I think I went on the Shoot the Chutes once.
That's one I hear of all the time. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
yeah. yeah.
That was enough for me. I never rode the Bobs because I was a chicken for the Bobs. I took the mild one, the Greyhound. Well, that's nice. It wasn't bad. And the The Ferris wheel was pretty good. Yeah. They had twin Ferris wheels in there, big side-by-side Ferris wheels, which were fantastic. They were very big and very high, and it was a nice ride. And they'd stop and start as they let people on and people off. But you, I think, finally got maybe four or five revolutions around. And it was, people used to say that you got on the, let's say it was the east Ferris wheel, and somehow when it was all done, you got off of the west Ferris wheel. The side
by side. Oh, wow. Okay.
Not possible.
No.
But it was such a dramatic ride and a thrilling ride that you weren't sure. Because now remember, you're sitting up there and you're swinging loose a little bit. Now, yeah. The Ferris wheel they have at Navy Pier in Chicago now is all enclosed, and
right.
it's almost a cabin.
Yeah.
But this was a little swinging seat with maybe two, possibly three, if it was like an adult and two kids could go in this little seat. And it would swing back and forth, and sometimes it would make a full revolution or two before stopping and letting someone off, depending how busy they were. And they were always busy.
Do you remember the carousel? Do you remember the...
The merry-go-round.
Yeah.
Riverview, that was a fantastic. It was not a thrill ride as such,
sure.
But it was thrilling to be on it because they had all these handcrafted horses and other animals. And if you didn't want to ride on a horse that was going up and down as the ride went around, mm-hmm. and they had this calliope kind of music with it.
You know, that's the last ride, though, Chuck, that still exists out there, the original. It's at Six Flags Over Georgia. That's where
that's
it is.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. That's it. I think everything else was pretty
everything
much
is gone.
Yeah, and this is what surprises me about this, Chuck. So, you know, I went to Kiddyland, which is gone. Santa's Village has been completely redone. I mean, Jason, who owns the place now, it's pristine. It's beautiful to be there. It's amazing what he's done with the place. But when Riverview closed, no one really was able to say goodbye. It closed on Labor Day like it was the end of any season. And then all of a sudden the announcement came and people were crushed.
Well, they had said that it was going to be open. They had signs up telling you when the opening season would be for the next year.
For 68, right.
68, but it never opened. And I think a lot of people felt cheated that way. I mean, I think that some people thought that Riverview's days were numbered, maybe. I don't know, for one reason or another. But, you know, we always like closure.
Yeah, right.
We want a final episode of the long-running TV series.
Yeah, you do.
The end of it, or whatever it is.
I walked through Kiddyland. You know, we went through there several times that summer, and I remember when we walked out of that park for the last time, you know, we videotaped and did whatever. So I had that closure. I can't imagine for the millions, because this is when you think about this, 1904 to 1967, I mean, we're talking almost 65 years that generations have gone here, and no one got to have one final walk through there.
Well, you always thought we're going to go next year.
Oh, right.
Because I don't think you could go to Riverview too much. I mean,
yeah, there's always something to do. Yeah.
In a summer, we might have gone four or five times.
Wow.
And you always figure you can go again. And how often, you know, if you lived in Anaheim, California, how many times would you go to Disneyland?
Yeah, see, these days so expensive, probably as much as we would. I mean, not that much, but it was attainable and it was affordable.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was the thing about it. You could go to Riverview and pay the 2 cents.
Yeah.
Or even on a non-2 cent, 5 cent day, pay a dime or a quarter or something to get in. And you didn't have to spend another penny.
Yeah.
If you didn't want to. And you would, I mean, Riverview was a great place for people watching. And they had lots of benches, park benches along the midway as you would walk along. So you could sit on the bench and just watch the people. You sit outside the chute, the chutes, and you'd be thrilled watching these people screaming as that boat came down the chute, splash, and hits the water, and everybody getting soaked wet. And then you walk over to the Tilt-A-Whirl, and you see them flying around like that. One of the rides I always remember as a kid was a thing called the Caterpillar. It was a ride that kind of went around in a circle, and it was an open car kind of a thing, like a train. And as it started up and started going around, slowly a canvas-type top would come over the top of your head, and now you were in an enclosure. And it seemed like a caterpillar kind of crawls along a little bit. That was the feeling you got on there. It was just a go-round ride, but that was a thrilling little thing. And they had another thing that was always very popular, the Tunnel of Love.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Or it was called
the... I remember you talking about that, yeah.
I'm trying to remember what that was called. It was called the Mill on the Floss.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, it was originally the Mill on the Floss. It had a couple of different names over the years, but then they painted a few hearts on the new sign in front and they called it the Tunnel of Love. And it was even more popular in there. And that was what it was going. It was a little ride through a lagoon of some sort, and the boats would sometimes just hit the side of the wooden walls that were guiding you through this sort of thing. But it was supposed to be a lover's lane that you'd hear the boys and the girls would be kissing, you know. And of course, when you had pre-adolescent kids like myself going in there,
of course
we would be always going.
Yeah, of course.
You know, woo, 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 Johnny.
That's awesome.
And Brad, get those kids out of here. You know?
That's awesome.
But we always had so much fun going through all of that stuff. There was another, we talked about Aladdin's Castle a little bit, and there was another place called Hades for a while, and it was like a big fire frontage on the facade in front of it, and there was a devil with a pitchfork. And it was supposed to be, it had all horrible things for you in there. It was, I think it was a walkthrough, if I'm not mistaken. But it was a Spooktown kind of a ride. And there was another thing called a Spooktown that they had. You rode in that, and it was ghosts coming out of anywhere and nowhere and all of that sort of thing. So many things that they had, because you were a participant. You were not an observer.
No.
You were a participant in it. And even if you were an observer, it was thrilling and exciting and you enjoyed it. And that's why it affected so many people. And families would go there. Family reunion. People, you know, a whole family would
schedule events there.
We're going to have a reunion Sunday afternoon at Riverview Park. And they'd get part of this, what is either the beer garden or an outdoor picnic area. And they'd set up their stuff there and then go in and out of the different attractions at the park. And if you made a reservation, I suppose it cost you a couple of dollars to make the reservation for a family, for them to reserve a bunch of picnic tables and stuff for you. But again, they didn't say, but you can't, you know, family, you're going to have a picnic. You can't bring in potato salad and hot dogs and all this other stuff. They did.
Yeah.
That's what people did. And I believe that stood all the way to the very end.
And you know what? I feel like I was born in the wrong era because I would have loved that. You know how nostalgic I am about this stuff. And, and it's, you know, it's again, not knowing and not being there myself over the years and hearing the stories, even from my own parents, my friends' parents and so forth. It makes me kind of yearn for that time. That's kind of simpler time. And of course, those were the days, Chuck.
Well, tell me about it. But you know, it's a nice place to visit. It was at the time, and it is in the memory. And if someone has a memory of going to Riverview Park, you can feel a little bit smug and feel a little sorry for someone who never had the chance to go there, because you figure with all the advantages they may have today, with all the things at their disposal, this little slice of Americana was something very special, and I'm sorry you didn't get a chance to go there.
But I get to always live those great times and those magical times through you, Chuck, and your great website, which, again, I want to mention. Great podcast, great. I mean, I'm telling you something. I do. I venture through your website at night because you've got such great stuff out there. It's speakingofradio.com. And if you want to catch Chuck... I think you kind of had a fro going on when you did that Chuck Shaden's Nostalgia TV show. It's on YouTube. You can catch that as well. Chuck, always a pleasure, man.
Thank you very much, Dave. I appreciate it and the continued success with what you're doing here.
Thank you, pal. All right. Top stories are next on 720 WGN.